Thousands of parents send their kids to Ontario private schools looking for superior academics, smaller class sizes, better sports, more individual attention, and greater flexibility in the education process. But are there any standards those schools have to follow? Do the parents know what they're getting into? I look into what the legal requirements for private schools are in this edition of my podcast. I'm John Schumann, a lawyer with 20 years' experience practicing education law in Toronto. In this podcast, I will explain what rules do and do not apply to Ontario private schools. Ontario has almost 1,300 private schools and thousands of students attend them. Private schools sell the idea that they offer superior education for students, smaller class size, modified curricula, greater resources. But there have been several recent incidents where private schools have not lived up to that reputation and children have suffered. Parents need to know where they and their kids stand legally when it comes to a private school education. While there are undoubtedly some very good private schools in Ontario, there are no legal requirements that private schools meet any of the standards required of publicly funded schools, with very few exceptions related only to achievement standards to receive an Ontario Secondary School Diploma. Private schools do not even have to meet lesser standards. For parents, it is truly a buyer beware situation, and the government will not step in to make sure students are receiving a proper education. All that may come as a surprise to many parents, some who are paying a large amount of money for their kids to attend a private school. But that private schools are not regulated and have few imposed standards is not controversial. It is intentional. Just look at this book, the Ontario Government's Private Schools Policy Procedures Manual. It is available online. Turn to page 7, and you can see highlighted in a blue box, the Ministry does not regulate, license, accredit, or otherwise oversee the day-to-day operations of private schools. It goes on to say private schools operators set their own policies and procedures regarding the operation of their schools, and they are not obliged to comply with the policies and procedures that school boards must follow. The manual then sets out that private schools are not required to use the Ontario curriculum. Principals are not required to have Ontario principals qualifications. Teachers are not required to be members of the College of Teachers or have OCT qualifications. Private schools are not required to use the provincial report cards. The manual makes no reference whatsoever of discipline or suspension or expulsion policies. It makes no mention of bullying. There are no requirements for addressing special needs students other than special needs students should be considered in planning courses leading to an Ontario Secondary School Diploma. You can get this book online and see that the only regulations for private schools are basically filling out paperwork that does not relate to ensuring student success and allowing the Ministry to inspect and ensure that course content and testing reflects the Ontario Secondary School curriculum only if the school is granting Ontario Secondary School diplomas. There is no regulation about how that course material is delivered or tested. The lack of regulation is intentional. It allows private schools to operate their businesses, possibly to make money, or at least break even, and to educate children in the way that the school wants. Some schools do operate to high standards. Others appear to do so until faced with a difficult situation, and then they seem unable to cope, even though the situation may be one in which, for which public schools have clear standards. Other schools have essentially no standards and operate as little more than diploma mills. Parents need to find out how the school operates before they send their kids there. Private schools can be held to standards. For the most part, these are the standards set out in the contract with the student's parents. It is very important to review that contract and the documents referenced by that contract. For good schools, those contracts will set out clear expectations that the school has to live up to.
Oh.
But many established schools also have contracts that can be very one-sided. For example, many private school contracts allow the school to kick out any student at any time for any reason without a hearing and without giving a refund. That means a student who has been the victim of bullying can be removed for not fitting in. There is no requirement that private schools follow the procedures in public schools for expulsions. Some contracts require that parents never question teachers' methodology. Most do not require the school to do anything about bullying or to do anything to assist students who run into other types of difficulties at school. Ontario private schools are subject to the Ontario Human Rights Code, so they cannot discriminate, and they must provide accommodations up to the point of undue hardship. But while public schools have the resources of the Ontario government to provide those accommodations, Many private schools have little extra money, and so they are unable to provide accommodations, even accommodations for problems that they may have caused or contributed to. Also, private schools can be sued in tort for things like failing to supervise, or allowing a student to be hurt, or acting maliciously against a student or parent. There may not be a specific standard for these things, but a school can still be held responsible for harming a student in certain situations. Since there are no specific standards, parents need to speak to a lawyer to find out if the law gives them any recourse.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
But for most parents, the most important thing to do when signing a child up for school is to read the contract to see what the school is obligating itself to provide. I hope you have found this podcast, video or audio, helpful. There are lots more episodes on schumannlaw.ca, including many more about education law issues. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will do it again soon.